إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. We've been studying hadith about significance of knowledge and merits of the knowledgeable. And now I want to mention some hadith about the significance of asking questions and discussion for the sake of understanding. These are hadiths cited in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 1, page 196 onwards, and it is the third chapter of the section on knowledge and also ignorance and intellect. سؤال العالم وتذاكره وإتيان بابه. About asking the knowledgeable people, discussing with them, and going to visit them. The first hadith is the hadith that Allama Majlisi quotes from Khisal of Shaykh al-Saduq. And the hadith is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, then from Imam Baqir and Ja'far alayhi salam and Abiha alayhi salam. Qal al-ilmu khaza'in. Knowledge is like treasures. And you know, normally something valuable is put in treasures. So for security, they put some locks and they try to, even sometimes, you know, they chained up so that no one can get into the treasures. So knowledge here is likened to the treasures, and the key for getting into what is in the treasure is asking. Al-ilmu khaza'in wal-mafatihu as-su'al. So, if you don't ask questions, then you would not get access to the knowledge which is there in the mind of the alim, or in perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasure of knowledge, but the alim is like a gate, like a datum through which you can get access to Allah's knowledge. So we should ask questions. Al-ilmu khaza'in wal-mafatih as-su'al fas'alu yarhamkumullah. Ask questions. May Allah's mercy be on you. So if you ask questions, Imam is praying for you that may Allah's mercy be on you. So not only you must not feel shy or embarrassed to ask questions, not only you must not think that this is a sign of weakness that you ask questions, you must ask questions with the intention of performing something which is religiously obligatory. Fas'alu, it's a kind of command, it's a kind of instruction. You must ask, and if you ask, Allah's knowledge would come into you And one of the things that Allah's mercy comes to you, and one of it is the knowledge. Then Imam said, فَإِنَّهُ يُؤْجَرُ فِي الْعِلْمِ أَرْبَعَةٌ. With respect to knowledge, four groups of people are rewarded. Four groups of people are rewarded. It's such a blessed thing that many people are rewarded because of this. One is as-sa'il, the one who asks questions. If a teacher, if an alim is asked questions, the first person who is rewarded is this person who initiated this discussion. If he hadn't asked, there was no discussion. So, as-sa'il. Second, wal-mutakallim, the one who gives answer. Of course, we suppose that he's giving a proper answer. It's a proper question, proper answer. We will talk about the manners later. So, the one who gives answer is rewarded. Wal-mustami', everyone who is there listening, he is also rewarded, because this person could have gone to another place, but he has preferred to come to the majlis of alim, or where there is a class, a session, in which knowledge is given. So the one who is sitting there is also active, although maybe you think he's not doing anything, but he's actively learning. So he is also rewarded. So the one who asks question, the one who answers, and the one who is listening, and the fourth, وَالْمُحِبُّ لَهُمْ, the one who also loves them. Maybe he's not here, maybe he doesn't understand what they say, the level is too high. Yeah, so he's not benefiting. He's not one of those three. He's not asking questions, he's not learning, he's not giving answer, but just loves the people who are involved in this scientific engagement. So even that type of people are rewarded. So as-sa'il, wal-mutakallim, wal-mustami', wal-muhibbu lahum, the one who loves them. The next hadith is from Ibn Nubata. Asbaq ibn Nubata quotes from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. This hadith is not actually the word of Imam himself, but it's Imam quoting what the wise people used to say. But when Imam Ali is quoting what they used to say, it means that it's a piece of wisdom. And it's such a beautiful piece of wisdom that Imam wants to share this with people. Imam says, كانت الحكماء فيما مضى من الدهر تقول. The wise people in the past, in those early days, they used to say such things. And this is beautiful, and it gives you an idea how to establish good relations with different types of people and benefit in a way or another from this relation. It's very nice. Some religious people find some items problematic, but I think it's very important. We need all these things, because religion is, in a sense, a way to understand how to make good relations with people. It's a kind of ishra, it's a kind of understanding the etiquettes of making good relations. So, Imam Ali says, the wise people used to say this, يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ الْإِخْتِلَافِ إِلَى الْأَبْوَابِ لَعَشْرَةِ أَوْجُهِ. It is good if you go to some gates, some doors, for one of the 10 reasons. We normally visit people, we go to their either houses or shops or offices or whatever, for different reasons. The wise people used to say that if you go to someone or some house, for one of these 10, It is recommended and it is good. It's advisable. Al-ikhtilaf, you know, what one of the meanings of ikhtilaf is going and coming, like ikhtilaf al-layl wal-nahar. This ikhtilaf is different from disagreement and conflict. And the hadith, which is also quoted from Rasulullah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ikhtilaf ummati rahma means coming and going, not disagreeing and conflicting, as our Imam has explained that. In any case, these people used to say ينبغي أن يكون الاختلاف إلى الأبواب لعشرة أوجه. You go to different doors, means making visitation for one of the 10 reasons. أولها بيت الله عز وجل. The first house you go, the first place you visit is the house of your Lord, the Kaaba. لقضاء نسكه والقيام بحقه وأداء فرضه. You go to Hajj not for shopping or I don't know, buying souvenirs. You go to Hajj for performing the rituals of the house, to show your respect to the rights that this house has over every believer, and to perform your obligatory actions. So people have to go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show their appreciation of the high position of this house. As Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam said in his will, Allah, Allah, fi bayt rabbakum. You must consider the requirements of taqwa with respect to the house of your Lord. So this is the first place to visit. وَالثَّانِي أَبْوَابُ الْمُلُوكِ الَّذِينَ طَاعَتُهُمْ مُتَّصِلَةٌ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَحَقُّهُمْ وَاجِبٌ وَنَفْعُهُمْ عَظِيمٌ وَضَرَرُهُمْ شَدِيدٌ. The second group of people that you should be visiting are the kings and rulers. But what type of rulers? Those whose obedience is connected to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is one interpretation which I mentioned later, but the first interpretation which comes to mind is referring to those legitimate rulers whose legitimacy comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obeying them is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Quran says, أَتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Like the Prophet himself, like imams, and everyone whose authority comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طَاعَتُهُمْ مُتَّصِلَةٌ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَالَ. Their obedience is connected to obedience to Allah. أَتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. وَحَقُّهُمْ وَاجِبٌ. They have necessary, obligatory right over you. Naf'uhum azim. You can benefit a lot from them, or they can benefit a lot. Both can be said. Wadhararuhum shadid. Also, if you are not in good relation with them, you can cause harm to the society, to yourself. If you don't help them, lots of loss may happen. So you have to make good relation with such people. The late Allama Majlisi says it's possible that muluk is mulukuddin min al-a'imma wa wulatuhum, those who are appointed by the imams. But he also says there is another interpretation that maybe this is general, because even if they are not good people, for the sake of taqiyya and protection, you need to have good relation with them. You need to avoid harm by making a kind of friendship with them, like taqiyya. But it seems that the first meaning is more defendable because it says ta'atuhum muttasilatun bi ta'atillah wa haqquhum wajib. So it should not be every ruler, it should be someone who is either ma'soom or connected to ma'soom. The second was this. Wath-thalith, the third place to visit. Abwabul ulama. You go to the houses of ulama. Of course, maybe they teach in house, maybe they teach in madrasa, in a school. It's not necessary to go to the house necessarily. The place that you can find them, benefit from their knowledge. Abwabul ulama. Alladhina yustafadu minhum. Those ulama that you can benefit from them, you can learn from them. Ilmuddin wa dunya. Not only religious knowledge, but also knowledge about dunya. Either it means secular knowledge, or it means that knowledge of life. You know, there are ulama who give you knowledge of religion plus knowledge of life. How to apply this knowledge into your worldly life. But there are people who just give you some theoretical knowledge. You go 20, 30 years to listen to them, learn from them, but nothing changes in your life. Okay? So we need the one who gives knowledge of deen, but in the way that can be applied to dunya as well. So it may not necessarily mean secular knowledge. It means religious knowledge, but with applications to the life. The fourth, الرابع أبواب أهل الجود والبذل. The people who are generous. الذين ينفقون أموالهم التماس الحمد والرجاء الآخرة. The people who are generous, they spend their money because they want to be praised. Possibly it means praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praised by good people. Not that they want to be showing off. And they are hopeful that something can be achieved for their akhirah. Raja al-akhirah. So we need to know religious people and make connection with them, who are also generous. Sometimes we need help for mu'mineen, sometimes we need help for the community, sometimes we need to build a school, a mosque, whatever. We need to know these generous people who have genuine intention. They don't want to show off, they don't want to bribe, they want to help. They can be even sometimes not belonging to our community, but they are willing to help. والخامس, this one is very interesting. أبواب السفهاء. There are people who are safi, means these are the people who are unwise. They are not very intelligent. But even these people, you should have good relation with them. Why? الذين يحتاج إليهم في الحوادث ويفزع إليهم في الحوائج. These are not knowledgeable, these are not very intelligent, but these are the people that you may need their help. If there are some troublemakers, these are the people that can frighten them. No one wants to get into trouble with these people. So you should have some people like them also with you or have good friendship. So whenever you need, they come to help you. والسادس أبواب من يتقرب إليه من الأشراف. Sometimes there are noble people. They come from a very good background, either family-wise or because of their job, their profession. You know, everyone respects them. Being with these people also is good, because then in this way you would be also respected. Okay, you are not going to lose anything if you are mixing with such noble people. أبواب من يتقرب إليهم من الأشراف. لالتماس الهيئة والمروءة والحاجة. By being with them, you also gain some respect. People will look at you with some awe and respect. And also when you need, you can benefit from their help. You are not necessarily imitating them in their behavior, but it's very good. You know, one of the things that I think we need to do for tabligh, in every country, in every society, we should find the people who are very respected, people that if they say something, you know, many people, you know, would follow. If you make good relation with them, then it's very helpful. If, God forbid, we have relation with the people who are either criminals or drug dealers, or for example, the people that the society look down upon them, it's not going to make any help. But if you are in touch with the people who have respect, prestige, this can help you. Of course, you should observe your principles. You know, these are all coming with lots of conditions and details. وَالصَّابِعُ أَبْوَابُ مَنْ يُرْتَجَى عِنْدَهُمْ النَّافِعُ فِي الرَّعِيِ وَالْمَشُورَةِ وَتَقْوِيَةِ الْحَزْمِ وَأَخِذِ الْأُهْبَةِ لِمَا يُحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ. The seventh group consists of the people that you can benefit from their consultation. There are experienced people, wise people, that can give you ideas, they can give you good advice. Consultation in Islam is very important. And whenever you want to do something, you should also think, you should consult people. So the people that you hope that by consulting them and seeking their opinion, you can benefit, or the people who can help you in hazm, being farsighted. For example, just recently, you know, someone asked me about applying for a school, a higher school, you know, in one country. So I said, you should, in addition to studying, because this person said, I have studied everything about the rules and regulations and restrictions. I said, in addition to that, you should ask the people, even if they are from other religious background, who have already done this, and see what has been their experience, what they have been through, what difficulties, what advantages, disadvantages. So a mu'min should always benefit from the experience of people. In the end of the day, you decide, okay? But you should seek advice, seek opinion. Even it's good to know what people who are not religious say, what religious people say, non-religious people say, what, you know, every group of people say. When you listen to all of them, then you are sure that no point is missing. After making clear that every point is taken into account, you reflect, you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you make your decision. إِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. But you cannot avoid asking advice from people. تقويت الحزم, so they help you to be farsighted, to plan for future, and also they help you in preparation. أخذ الأهبة, how to prepare. If you want to make, for example, a clinic, a school, an orphanage, we need people that we can get their opinion, advice, and benefit from their experience. والثامن, the eighth group that you should visit them, أبواب الإخوان, your brothers in faith. Why? لما يجب من مواصلتهم ويلزم من حقوقهم, because necessary, it's obligatory that you should visit your brothers in faith, and you should also observe their rights. You know, we have many hadiths about the rights of the brothers or sisters over each other. There are many mutual rights that mu'minin should observe with respect to each other. And the minimum right is to love for them what you want and love for yourself, and not to want for them what you don't want for yourself. This is the minimum, this is the bottom line. There are many hadiths, like hadith of Imam Sadiq to Mu'alla ibn Khunais. So the eighth group of people is mu'mineen, that you should visit them. The ninth, abwabul a'da, you should visit your enemies. I many times tell to people that if there are some fanatics, some radicals, some unfortunately extremist Muslims who are killing Shia, causing trouble, many times it can help if we can make some relation with them before we come to this point. Maybe there are people who don't like us, but go visit them, invite them for a lunch, for dinner, make friendship. It has great impact. When there is no relation, then hatred would be added and increased, and the problem can go to the peak. So abwabul a'da, the doors, the houses of your enemies, you go and visit. Allati taskunu bil mudarat ghawailuhum, the troubles that they can make can cool down. وَيُدْفَعُ بِالْهِيَلِ وَالرِّفْقِ وَاللُّطْفِ وَالزِّيَارَةِ عَدَاوَتُهُمْ, their hostility and enmity can be stopped by using some techniques, nice manners, some techniques, by being moderate, by being kind, by visiting them, giving them gifts. Sometimes you can stop the hatred. Even Allah said to Musa alayhi salam, you should go and visit Pharaoh. Pharaoh was an enemy of Musa, an enemy of God, enemy of Bani Israel, but said, go and speak. قُولَ لَهُ غَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. So if there is an enemy, we should try to show kindness so that that person may change. And this is Quran. لَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّعَةُ, doing good and doing bad are not the same. You must respond to سَيِّعَة with حَسَنَة, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَن. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is a chance that maybe a person who is your enemy becomes your close friend. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ, the one who was your enemy maybe becomes very close friend. Why we don't test this? Why we don't try this? As soon as a person has a problem with us, say, okay, useless to talk, useless to visit. No. Quran says, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ, maybe he becomes a very close friend. Maybe he becomes your supporter. But this is not easy. وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, you have to be patient. If you are not patient, then you would not be able to achieve. You have to control your emotions, you have to control your anger, and then you would see, inshallah, that person will change. And if it doesn't change, for sure he doesn't become worse. There is no harm. So the enemies are the ninth group of people that you should visit in order to overcome their hostility. والعاشر أبواب من ينتفع بغشيانهم ويستفاد منهم حسن الأدب ويؤنث بمحادثتهم. There are also people that Maybe they are not your brothers and sisters in faith, or if they are, they are not very religious, but they have good manners, and relation with them can help. You know, sometimes you have a neighbor, maybe he's not very religious, but he's a nice person. It's good to have relation. Maybe one night, you know, in the middle of night, you need help. That person is able to help you. If a thief is coming to your house, the neighbor can call the police and say, no, come. You know, this happens a lot to the Muslims who live outside, you know, in non-Islamic society. So sometimes your neighbors are not religious, are not Muslim, maybe they don't agree with you on many things. But still, you can make relation with them and benefit from this relation. And for sure, there is no harm again. يُعْنَثُوا بِمُحَادَثَتِهِمْ. Also, talking to them, you know, you can feel, you know, more comfortable. Sometimes, for example, a university student has classmates who are not religious. But still, if you are good with them, you know, have a tea with them, chat with them, there is no harm. So, this is why in our hadith, we have a group of brothers who are called Ikhwanul Mukashara. These are the people with whom just you laugh. You say jokes. Maybe when the situation is very difficult, they don't support you. But at least in normal cases, they are there. They come to you. You can speak together. You can laugh together. You can share, for example, notes of the classes. This is good. This, even this level of relation is good. So the reason this hadith is mentioned here is because one of the groups of the people, one of the 10 groups that we should visit is ulama. We should visit ulama to benefit from their knowledge. But it was interesting also to know that how open a believer, a mu'min should be when it comes to making relations. Don't limit your relations, don't, you know, isolate yourself from the society. You can have different reasons for making different types of relation with people, but in the end of the day, you have your own principles and values, as I said. The next hadith is an Rida alayhi salam an aba'ih. Imam Rida alayhi salam from his holy fathers quotes, qal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, it's quoted from Rasulullah. Al-ilmu khaza'in wa miftahuhu as-su'al. Knowledge is treasures, because we have different treasures of knowledge, and the key is asking question. Fas'alu yarhamkumullah. Ask questions, may Allah's mercy be upon you. Like the hadith we had from Imam Baqir. It's very similar to the hadith from Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq. فَإِنَّهُ يُؤْجَرُ فِيهَ أَرْبَعَةٌ. Four groups of people are rewarded. The same thing we had above. As-sa'il, the one who asks questions. وَالْمُعَلِّمْ. In that hadith we had al-mutakallim, a speaker. Here we have the teacher. It's the same thing. Wal mustami', the one who listens. Wal muhibbu lahum, the one who loves them. Four groups of people are rewarded. The next hadith is from Amir al-Mu'minin al-Salam, but it's a poem. صبرت على مر الأمور كراهة وأيقنت في ذلك الصواب من الأمر. I have been trying to be patient with respect to difficult. مر means something which is bitter. So with bitterness of the things, I have tried to be patient. When things are not going smoothly, you have difficulties, Imam says, I tried to be patient, and I was certain, أَيْقَنْتُ, I was certain that this is the best choice. إِذَا كُمْتَ لَا تَدْرِي, وَلَمْ تَكُسَا إِلَىٰ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ مَنْ يَدْرِي جَهِلْتَ وَلَا تَدْرِي. If you don't know and you don't ask the one who knows, then you are jahil, you are ignorant and you don't know. إِذَا كُنْتَ لَا تَدْرِي, when you don't know, you don't understand. وَلَمْ تَكُ سَائِلًا عَنِ الْعِلْمِ مَنْ يَدْرِي means لَمْ تَكُ سَائِلًا مَنْ يَدْرِي عَنِ الْعِلْمِ. You don't ask the one who knows about this question, about this knowledge. جَهِلْتَ, you are a jahil, you are ignorant or unwise person. وَلَا تَدْرِي, but you don't know. So when you don't know something, you have to ask. The next hadith is from Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam and Abaihi alayhi salam. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سائلوا العلماء, ask ulama questions for the sake of understanding, as the Quran says فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلم. سائلوا العلماء وخالطوا الحكماء and mix with the wise people. So by asking questions from ulama, you can learn. But if you want to get wisdom, you cannot just ask. You can get it by mixing. You know, because this is something that you have to experience. You know, it's like leadership, like management. Sometimes it's not just a matter of information that you ask. You have to be with a good manager, with a good leader, so that you learn over time many things. So when it comes to hukama, it says وَخَالَتُوا الْحُكَمَا, mix with them, means spend some time with them. It's by spending some time with them that you can benefit. وَجَالِسُوا الْفُقَرَا, and try to sit with the poor people. Either the people who are financially poor, when you sit with them, then you forget your own problems. Then you understand how rich you are. If you sit with the people who are richer than you, then you always think that, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. You feel, you know, sad. But if you sit with the people who are poor, then you understand that you are already much richer. You have plenty of things to be thankful for. Or maybe these are spiritual poor who are humble, who feel that they are nothing, they are empty when they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the spiritual poverty. So we should sit with those poor people. The last hadith for tonight, Buraid al-Ijli says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, إِنَّمَا يَحْلِكُ النَّاسِ لَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْأَلُونَ. People are destroyed. Means either physically they are destroyed when they don't ask about questions related to the life, physical life, or spiritually, religiously they are destroyed when they don't ask questions. They want to marry, they don't ask questions. They want to do business, they don't ask questions. They want to upbring children, they don't ask questions. They want to do business, trade, they don't ask questions. So they go through lots of wrong decisions. They may do lots of haram because they don't ask questions. So it's very important to ask questions. Don't feel shy, don't feel embarrassed, and ask whatever you don't know, or even you are not sure, maybe you think you know, but you have to check. Many times we think we know, but this is not based on any reliable source. We think we know, but in the reality we don't know. So we have to ask questions. So, as you see, in all these hadiths, great emphasis has been put on visiting ulama, sitting with them, listening to them, loving them, and asking questions. Once I was in Germany, there was a conference, and a lady who was a professor from Berlin, she said that in Islam, asking questions is not encouraged. And I was surprised, you know, why she has come to this conclusion. And she said, the story of Musa and Khizr is an evidence. When Khizr asked Musa alayhi salam, don't ask questions, be patient. And when Musa kept asking questions, then Khizr said, Haza firaghu bayni wa baynak. This is now the end of our companionship. So she took this as an evidence for saying that in Islam people should not ask questions. But then over discussion time I said, this is not showing your claim, this is not supporting your claim. Indeed, the Quran says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَحْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Not only there is no problem, it says you must ask. This is a religious duty to ask. But you have manners to observe. There are some etiquettes to observe. One is whom to ask. Second is how to ask. Why to ask? When to ask? These are all important. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Sometimes I don't know something and I ask a person who is equal to me in knowledge. It's not helpful. It's just spreading doubts, spreading questions without answers. If I have questions, I should ask a person who knows. Also, I should ask for the sake of understanding. Sometimes people ask just for the sake of asking or for the sake of troubling ulama. In hadith in one verse, he says, إِيَّاكَ وَأَن تَسْأَلَ الْعُلَمَا تَعَنُّتًا. Sometimes people, they learn something and then they ask, you know, every person that they meet, you know, to see whether he knows or not. So they have learned, you know, one point, they want to test people. Also, when to ask? When the presentation has not yet finished, when the lesson is going on, the lecture is going on, maybe it's not a good time to ask a question. When Khizr was still in the process of doing the things which he was supposed to do, that was not a good time to ask. But later, Khizr himself explained everything to Musa alayhi salam. And also how to ask. You should ask with respect. You should ask without challenging the alim, without troubling him, without annoying him. For example, 2 a.m. you call the alim and say, no, I have a question. This is not a good time. There are many things to observe. But if you observe all these etiquettes, then not only it's not bad, it's very good. It's a religious responsibility and Allah rewards you a lot for the sake of asking. And I personally think that indeed asking question from an alim is by itself an act of dua. How? What is dua? The real dua is to ask something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the practical way I can request knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I cannot just say, oh Allah, teach me, teach me. In addition to this, I should study. I should ask ulama. I should attend lectures. These are real practical du'as. These are real practical requests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this du'a will not be rejected. What is a practical du'a for rizq? When you work, when you do some efforts to earn halal, this is practical du'a. Anything that you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can just say it by your lips, or in addition to verbally asking Allah, you can make appropriate measures in order to achieve that. So if I really want to understand something, I should ask ulama. And many times it happens that maybe that alim himself also is, at the same time that you are asking him question, is inspired, because Allah wants to teach you through him. So put something in his mind that would be helpful for you. It happens many times. So a very humble way of seeking knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to sit in front of an alim and ask politely for the sake of understanding. May Allah increase our knowledge and understanding, inshallah. May Allah give shifa to all the brothers and sisters who are ill and everyone who is ill in the world. May Allah give peace and security to all the people who live under fear and terror. May Allah make the appearance of Imam Zaman as soon as possible and as easy as possible. And may Allah make all the people who have rights upon us, our parents, for parents, teachers, our maraji, our ulama, the late Imam Khomeini, may Allah make all of them be with Ahlul Bayt in the bounties of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.